5 years ago, there were only a handful of frac sand mines and processing centers in Wisconsin. Now, it's estimated by the DNR that there are some 160 permitted facilities. That has meant a tremendous amount of money coming into the state to build these mines and extract the sand. And by some estimates, it's also helped create or is going to help create some 2,200 jobs. But there are some people who say that those jobs and economic benefits are only one side of the story. This hour, we talk about the true economic impact and costs of frac sand mining in our region in three segments. First, we'll hear from the author of an economic study that says there are real costs to be considered along with the benefits. Then we'll hear from a Pepin County Board supervisor who is worried that tourism could be hurt by sand mining and heavy truck traffic through the Stockholm and Pepin areas. And finally, we'll hear from the industry with a representative about specific examples of frac sand mining bolstering local and regional economies. That's all this hour on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this evening. And leading up our discussion this hour will be Tom Power, a professor emeritus in the economics department at the University of Montana and principal of Power Consulting, the firm which released a report this year titled "The Economic Benefits and Costs of Frac Sand Mining in West Central Wisconsin." Tom Power, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Our pleasure, our pleasure. So right away, I want to get into the meat of this study. I'm not sure if a lot of people have been able to look at it, but basically it's saying that it's not all benefits. There's a lot of reports out there that you claim have only focused on the benefits. So what are they leaving out? What are the reports that we've heard about from chambers of commerce or frac sand mining interests? What are they leaving out?
Well, they label things as economic studies, as studies that are homing in on the economic impacts associated with frac sand mining. But the strange thing is that the only thing they report on are benefits. That's a typically incredibly rare situation to find in a real-world economy where you have pure benefits and don't have to worry about costs. In that situation, you don't have to make any choices. There's no weighing of costs and benefits. There's no estimation of whether there are net benefits. So what's missing is any reflection of costs whatsoever. In that sense, it's these studies are free lunch economics, and economists are always saying that there is no such thing as a free lunch. So the costs are fairly straightforward. Wisconsin has had a lot of experience with mining, as has neighboring states, the Upper Peninsula, the Iron Range of Minnesota, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And one can simply look at mining communities as one drives through them or as one lives in them or as one, as I have, studies them. And it's clear that there's not just wealth being produced, there's not just high wages being produced, not just wealth being pulled out of the ground. Something happens that prevents that wealth or those high wages from being converted into sustained prosperity in mining communities.
Mm.
Most mining communities aren't very prosperous across the nation. They've been and in Wisconsin have been associated with ghost towns. I mean, mining hasn't been able to even sustain the life of communities where the communities didn't become ghost towns. They often have a definite rundown aspect to them. Average incomes are lower, unemployment rates are higher, poverty rates are higher. The high wages and the wealth produced hasn't typically been translated into ongoing prosperity in those communities, and we need to understand why. It just doesn't work to keep pointing out that high wages have been paid or a terrific amount of wealth has been created. That's been true, I'm I'm from Montana. I grew up in Wisconsin, but I've been in Montana for 45 years, a mining state, long history in mining. And our mining towns and mining towns elsewhere in the United States simply aren't wealthy, prosperous places.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand why before we make decisions. I'm not saying that frac sand mining can't lead to prosperity. I'm just saying that communities need to learn from the experience of other areas that have been through mining to try and get a feeling for why often that mining does not lead to prosperity. That seems to me to be a crucial question, and that's what the study that I and my colleague tried to lay out, the questions that communities need to ask and answer before they decide to embrace even more frac sand mining.
Now, Tom, I want to remind our listeners that we're talking about the true economic impact of frac sand mining on western Wisconsin. We're listening right now to Tom Power. He is the principal at Power Consulting, which is a firm based in Missoula, Montana, that released an economic impact study that showed some of the costs as well as the economic benefits of mining and frac sand mining. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned in your report, you kind of talked about it a little bit already, but you focus on some communities in Wisconsin. Hurley comes to mind right now. Back they had an iron mining, kind of a boom, early 1900s, I believe. High unemployment right now, low wages. So you also look at coal mining. You look at all these other types of mining and kind of preface your talk about frac sand mining. Is it fair to do to kind of correlate those two many different types?
Well, I think that's one of the questions that has to be looked at very closely. It's certainly possible that frac sand mining will be different, and that's the typical claim on here, is that mm-hmm. this time will be different, that this time the technology that we're going to use, this time we have environmental laws in place, this time the demand for what we're going to produce, the frac sand, is not going to fluctuate and the price is not going to fluctuate. It's just a repetition of the mantra that this time will be different. And I think one has to ask why. We were told that as we slipped into the Great Recession, that leading up to that the bubble we were going through this time would be different, and we discovered that it wasn't all that different compared to the Great Depression. In the sense that we had a very serious collapse. Just saying that we don't have to pay attention to history is, I don't think, accurate. If you look at frac sand mining, in some ways it has a double boom-bust characteristic to it. When one's producing coal, it's largely used now to generate electricity. If you're producing copper, it's being used in all sorts of electric and electronic appliances. What frac sand mining is used for is to produce natural gas, which is then sold into national and international gas markets. Natural gas prices fluctuate widely, so much so that there have been times when, the drilling for natural gas, because prices are so low, is being cut way back. In Montana, 2 decades ago, they actually cut up the drilling rigs for scrap iron because the prices were so low and they didn't think the market was ever coming back. So frac sand mining, the price of frac sand is going to fluctuate. As the demand for natural gas fluctuates, and that's going to fluctuate depending on what the market price for that gas is. So you have two sources of volatility that's going to regularly shake up the demand and the market for frac sand, and that has already taken place to a certain extent. And
we have heard about somewhat of a lull in the demand for some sizes of frac sand because of the low price of natural gas. Let me ask you this, though. We're hearing a lot about the possibility of exporting natural gas from the U.S. abroad. And I'm hearing from people in the industry that that right there is your stability for the prices. And that's why these mines will have no problem lasting for 30, 50 years.
Well, looking overseas is a possibility. I mean, our coal industry is looking to export. Our oil industry is looking to export. Whether Americans want to look forward to exporting our natural gas, so that one of our primary fuels for heating our homes goes from being relatively inexpensive to being very, very expensive because we're competing and trying selling our natural gas in Japanese markets or European markets for five times what Americans are paying for it. Whether Americans want to jump on that sort of market and watch their energy costs skyrocket and their household budgets get squeezed, whether that really is going to be the American policy is unclear. Mm-hmm. But even if it is, we're back into the same world market into which copper is sold, into which coal is sold, and those prices fluctuate wildly. One can look at our coal fields. The oldest mining area in the United States is Appalachia, which has been a symbol of serious, persistent poverty for decades and decades, despite all of the mining that's going on, that continues to go on. It's a symbol of permanent poverty. That coal is being sold at terrific prices overseas, but it doesn't bring prosperity, low unemployment, high incomes to the mining area. We need to understand why. There's some straightforward explanations for that, and once one understands that, one can try and figure out whether there's things that public policy can do to assure or boost the benefits that communities receive from the frac sand mining and reduce the costs that the communities face. But one has to at least ask, why hasn't this in the past been a sure path to prosperity?
I'd like to put a call out for our listeners to call in to the West Side. The number is 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about frac sand mining, specifically the economic impacts. The true economic impact is what we're trying to get at. There's a lot of opinions on this matter. Let's hear yours. The number, 1-800-228-5615, wide open phone lines right now. We're talking with Tom Power, who released a report looking at the economic benefits and costs of frac sand mining. Tom, you mentioned in your report that the local communities that host frac sand mines aren't likely to benefit much in terms of, you know, economics, because the mine workers are very mobile, the high mobility. They travel for work. Also, the equipment is likely not going to be in the New Auburn area, you know, a small, very rural area. I've heard from the industry that, you know, the jobs, local jobs that people do hire locally within, say, a 45-mile radius. Is that not local? Are those not local workers? Or what's the definition of local prosperity here?
Well, that given the proximity of parts of west central Wisconsin to the greater Minneapolis area, one has to be careful. If you're providing jobs primarily for truck drivers who live in the greater Minneapolis area, you may want to scratch your heads about whether that's a positive local impact. I think it's almost certain that largely rural areas are going to see a good part of the jobs taken by people with experience driving very heavy equipment. These operations aren't going to remain sort of mom-and-pop businesses the way it used to be when sand mining was used simply for producing concrete for local construction projects. These frac sand mines are going to get corporately aligned with the natural gas drilling companies.
Vertical integration.
Vertical integration. So the truck driving is going to get taken over by national or at least large regional trucking firms. And you already see that. The stream every, once a minute of these trucks are fleets of trucks owned by a single company. So the chances that the currently rural unemployed are going to successfully pick up some of the higher-paid jobs is at least questionable. There's going to be intense competition for those jobs simply because they do pay pretty well.
All right, Tom. We've got a caller. Let's go to that. This will be for Tom Power, this is going to be the final caller because we've got to move through our guests here. But we go to Rice Lake right now, and we've got Francis on the phone. Francis, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you. Tom Powers, you're a brilliant man. Everything that I wanted to say, you've said. And for me to be just a pedestrian up here in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, I have to tell you that the next form of energy, whatever it is, and you've given examples, the corporations will have it controlled. And when we think we're going to get cheap natural gas or we're going to get this, we're going to get that, you nailed it. I have to agree with you. I've seen it for years. This is every piece of energy now and in the future will be controlled by the rich corporations. And we have a few examples of our Governor Walker who wouldn't allow light rail because that wouldn't burn as much fuel. Okay? And then we can move on to health care, why you won't give us our money from the federal government now, which is free, because we paid our taxes. But you nailed it, and congratulations, and keep pushing your agenda, because you're right on. And every person should listen to the politicians, and if you find one who will agree that the people need jobs, not the corporations, we will certainly have happier people, we'll have healthy people, both physically and mentally, socially, psychologically. And I think the society of America is being battered so badly. In about, I would say in about 10 years, we're going to have another crash when the workers finally give up.
Well, Francis, thank you very much for the call. Tom Power, a quick response as we really must move on to our next guest, Bill Mavity. But go ahead, Tom Power.
I would just urge communities to look closely and not think about this as safe, small, locally oriented mom and pop business that most rural and urban communities have always had. This is something different than just looking at the scale of what's going on. Should tell us that this is something different, and it has the potential to transform West Central Wisconsin in positive and possibly negative ways. Got to look closely.
All right, Tom Power, thank you so much for speaking with us. This was phase one of the study. What's happening next? Is there anything in the works at this point yet?
Trying to the frac sand mining is so diverse. The character of the communities going from adjacent to fairly large Wisconsin cities to very, very rural. We're trying to figure out a way of talking in some detail about what the impacts are that respects that variety. And So we're working on the research plan right now.
All right. Tom Power is a professor emeritus in the economics department at the University of Montana and principal of Power Consulting, which released a report this year titled Economic Benefits and Costs of Frac Sand Mining in West Central Wisconsin. Tom Power, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And next, we're going to hear from Bill Mavity, a Pepin County Board Supervisor, who's worried that frac sand mining might impact tourism negatively, which his part of the county relies on very heavily. We'll be back with more West Side after this. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're talking about the true economic impact of frac sand mining in western Wisconsin here on the West Side. And you just heard from Tom Power. He's a consultant with Power Consulting, also a professor emeritus of economics. Released a report about the economic benefits and costs of frac sand mining. Now we're joined by Bill Mavity, and Bill is a Pepin County Board Supervisor who's introduced an ordinance to keep frac sand mining out along the shoreline between in the towns of Pepin and Stockholm. Bill Mavity, thank you for joining us on the West Side.
You're very welcome.
So you're worried about frac sand mining and truck traffic, that it could hurt tourism in towns and villages, Pepin and Stockholm. First of all, how big of a deal is tourism in your area?
Tourism is the primary industry or the economy for the four communities, the two townships and the two villages along the Great River Road, which is Highway 35 right along Lake Pepin.
All right, and so how do you think frac sand mining and processing operations might hurt that?
Well, we know pretty clearly what the impact would be. In 2012, a large private equity firm, Wexford Capital, and their affiliate proposed a very large frac sand operation along the lake. It would have been just south of the village of Stockholm. It involved a very large processing plant, one that would have a 200-car rail spur, and also a barge loading depot. The town board of Stockholm actually got a presentation from the principals of that frac sand company, and it was very clear from that it would totally destroy the existing economies, the recreation economy and the tourism economy in that area along the lake. There are probably 100 jobs, full-time equivalent jobs, in tourism and recreation in that area. The town board representatives, village representatives, and a lot of property owners and business owners got together and began looking at the problem to see whether or not they could survive that kind of thing. And the result was an ordinance that would create an overlay district right along the lake, fairly small area actually, but it would cover the what's called the Great River Road, both sides of Highway 35 down to the shoreline, and then anywhere from a half a mile to about a mile and a half on the other side, away from the river.
This strip would be from the Pierce County border down to the Chippewa River, right?
That is correct. The ordinance would limit, they had two primary restrictions there. It would limit the establishment of any businesses that would involve more than 50 truck trips per day, truck trips being defined as a truck with a gross vehicle rating of over 50,000 pounds or an actual weight of over 50,000 pounds. The second restriction, which is probably the most controversial, mm-hmm. is it would ban all frac sand operations, mining, processing, transloading, rail or barge within that district.
Isn't that singling out one industry, that second one that you mentioned, and is that legal to do that?
It is very legal to do that. You have to be careful about the constitutional issue of equal protection. Frac sand operations are not like any other non-metallic mining operation in Wisconsin. They have a quarry, and they extract their minerals from the ground. But the product is not sold anywhere in the state. It has to go where they're doing hydraulic fracturing. Mm-hmm. That means it's moved by truck to a processing facility. And the processing facility puts the sand through a process that no other non-metallic mining operation would go through. It then moves the sand again to some sort of transportation place, either a rail or barge. The volume of trucks, the intensity of that particularly the truck transfer, on a region is huge. We know that from the design we saw from Muskie, which is part of the Wexford Capital Group, mm-hmm. we know that that processing facility on the lake would involve probably between 600 and 1,000 trucks per day loaded coming in. Same number going out, unloaded. The physical structure itself and the barge depot would take away what is the most important feature of that whole area. That's the beauty mm-hmm. of that area. You might be able in some places in the rural area reclaim the top of a hill or a bluff that's been removed 20 years later. You can't reclaim the beauty that is there, you know, if you had mining there. But more significantly, the 600 to 1,000 trucks, and it could be more, would compete with the bicycles and the cars and the motorcycles, all of the traffic that comes to that area. That area may be the most beautiful area, small though it is, in all of Wisconsin. There's been a national poll that found that it was the most scenic drive, the Great River Road, in America. Those two economies, recreation and tourism in that area, could not survive with a heavy industry frac sand operation.
Are you expecting a legal challenge? I mean, this hasn't passed yet, and we'll get into that. I guess, well, I'll ask you right now. There was a public hearing that I went to, and that's when I first heard about it and met you. It was a committee hearing. Has it passed out of committee yet?
It did last night on a 3-1 vote. It's been sent forward to the board, which will decide it on next Wednesday, June 19th.
So next Wednesday is the make or break for that.
Right, and the committee recommended that it be adopted.
Okay. So if it is adopted, do you expect some sort of a legal challenge maybe from a landowner or from a company?
I'm not sure. What's been interesting, and I've been to hearings in other counties, there hasn't been any stated opposition from any representatives of frac sand mining at all so far. They didn't come to the public hearing. They didn't come to the committee meeting. I would like to believe that the industry itself at times can see what is where they want to go. And they want to go there because it would be a big transloading opportunity for them. But I'm hoping at some point that, and it hasn't happened in my knowledge yet, that the industry could work with communities and maybe stay away from certain communities because of what would be destroyed, you know, by their heavy industry coming in there.
Mm-hmm. Reminder to listeners, we're talking about the economic impacts of frac sand mining on western Wisconsin. You can join in the conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. We've got three open phone lines right now. I'm interested in this part of the ordinance that is would ban 50 operations with more than 50 truck trips per day at that weight that you mentioned. That sounds like if that is challenged and if that is held up, could that set some kind of a precedent for the rest of the state or for the rest of that other areas that are worried about the impacts of frac sand mining in their area?
It could. If it were appealed and it was, let's say that it was challenged and the circuit court that would hear it found that the challenge would not succeed and it were appealed up to an appellate court, either the Court of Appeals or the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they affirmed that lower court decision, then it would set a precedent. It would be the law that any county anywhere in the state could create areas and ban frac sand mining.
How do you know this industry will hurt tourism when there aren't any mines there right now of this scope?
There wouldn't need to be mines there. Just the fact that if they can put in a processing plant and a rail loading facility, which is what they want. I've seen numbers where something like 63% of the cost of getting the product to market
yep.
is transportation.
Okay, but there aren't any of those either right now.
So, right now.
Isn't it kind of a guess that this would hurt the tourism that badly?
It's not a guess. We've had an economic study done in addition to Dr. Power's study, which was a wonderful study. Ours was directly at the tourism and the recreational area down there. And the economists that did the study for us, two professors from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, made clear that the impact of that without this ordinance would do harm to those social amenities we had, not only the tourism and the recreation, but also to the beauty. Frac sand mining make no mistake, it's heavy industry. It is dirty, it's noisy, and it's ugly. We have down there not only the tourism and recreation economies, but a very, very beautiful place. I think that it's not thought of enough, but when you are destroying something that beautiful, you look at it with a little bit different perspective. Mm-hmm. And banning it is really the only way you can go.
And I was at that, as I mentioned, I was at that public hearing, which was, what, last month, I think. And there would seem like more than 100 people in attendance. And there were only three that spoke out against your ordinance. And they all seemed to have the same message, that the county is infringing on their property rights, telling them that they can't do on their own land what they want. So even if a person there wanted to lease or sell land to a sand mining firm or a firm that wanted to build a processing or loading facility, that why shouldn't they be able to do that? Is it because of the greater good? Is that the argument?
Well, it's for two reasons. One, government has always had the authority and the right under the Constitution to impose regulations on things that would cause harm to the health, harm to the safety, harm to the welfare of a community. But I think that the courts balance that individual right very carefully with the need to protect that. And that's why we have certain legal standards, equal protection, due process. What we would have to show in our ordinance, and I think we've done it, is there is data to support our allegations or our findings of fact that this would harm this. And we also can single out, to answer your earlier question, the frac sand mining. It stands by itself. One of the things that a court looks at when they look at something being singled out, are there other things like that, similarly situated, that are being treated differently? There is nothing like frac sand heavy industry anywhere else in western Wisconsin.
Bill Mavity speaking with us. He's a board supervisor for Pepin County, and he's introduced a bill that would effectively ban frac sand mining along the shoreline of Lake Pepin from Pierce County down to the Chippewa River. We've got a couple calls on the on right now. We're going to go first to Eau Claire, and we've got Jean on the phone. Jean, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to say thank you so much. I think this is a wonderful thing that they're doing. I think that the people need to stand up against this industry because it takes many, many years, have the treasures that we have in our area and the industry, you know, the recreation and the beauty that we have and our air quality and our property values. And, and there's a lot of pollution with those trucks. And protecting the health and safety of the people who live there, as well as, you know, the beauty that we were blessed with. And I think this is so wonderful. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Jean, if I could ask you, the economy is tough. Do you not see any possibility that this industry, with the jobs that it can provide, can coexist with the environmental concerns?
Absolutely not. You don't destroy what you have there to create a few jobs. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call. And let's take another one real quick before we get a response from Bill Mavity. We will go to Rhonda. And Rhonda, you're also calling from Eau Claire. Thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd just like to comment that I think it's a very good thing what Pepin and Stockholm is trying to do there. Because when you go to visit one of these areas, you go there basically to get away from things probably in the city or industries that are in the city, and you want to go where it's peaceful and a quiet place, a beautiful place to go. So I think if you put some of these industries, the frac sand, there, it would really take away from the purpose of what your tourism is all about. And I really have to believe that that area there is just full of tourism, and that's really what the economic engine is in that area. So if you put the other there, you could not have both and make it be a goal. It's either one or the other. It's black and white.
All right. Rhonda, thank you so much for your call. Bill Mavity, is she preaching to the choir here?
Well, she's certainly in agreement with what our, the folks in our area have been saying. There's another issue here that I haven't mentioned that I want to. The four communities, the two towns and the two villages, and our overlay district goes right through that, mm-hmm. provide 36% of the tax base from property taxes to the full county. That tax base comes from homes built on the bluffs that are more expensive. They pay higher property taxes, and from the tourism industry that's established there. If frac sand comes into that area in the large scale that it will, that would destroy our tax base. And if we lose tax base, the burden that's shifted over to the other townships and to the city of Durand, and we won't be able to provide the same level of services that we're now trying to provide under tight budgets to our citizens. So it's tax base, it's loss of jobs. More jobs would be lost in that area with frac sand than what would be brought in by the industry itself.
Okay, and as I mentioned before, it's already been, your ordinance has already been passed out of committee. It goes before the full board. I will say that when I was watching even the committee members, there was at least one or two that seemed totally disinterested. That one fellow in particular went out the back door as quick as he could as soon as the meeting was over. Are there some people that you see on the board that will balk at this? And I guess the question is, do you think it's going to pass?
I don't know. I hope it will, and I'm fairly confident that it will. And there is opposition on the board. I'm not sure if there are precise reasons. There's been some concern expressed by a couple of the board members that why should we be doing zoning for these towns and these villages? Why can't they do it on their own? What this represents is a great model of intergovernmental coordination and cooperation. I think it should be the model is how communities address this issue.
All right. Bill Mavity is a Pepin County Board Supervisor, also an attorney who lives in the town of Pepin.
In Stockholm.
Excuse me. And he's introduced a bill to create a mining overlay district, or a district that would ban frac sand mining effectively and explicitly from the strip of the shoreline in Pepin County going from Pierce County down to the Chippewa River. Next up, we're going to hear from the frac sand mining industry with Wisconsin Industrial Sands Association President Rich Buttinger. You're listening to The West Side. We're talking about the economic impact of frac sand mining. We'll take more of your calls, and we'll get more conversation when we return. We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about frac sand mining and specifically the economic impacts. And right now I'd like to offer some frac sand mining industry perspective and welcoming to the program Rich Buttinger. Rich is the general manager for Fairmont Minerals, and he's president of the Wisconsin Industrial Sand Association, a relatively new advocacy group for this burgeoning industry. Rich Buttinger, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
And right away, you know, soon after Tom Power's report came out, the report that we were speaking about earlier about the economic benefits and costs of frac sand mining, your group, the Wisconsin Industrial Sand Association, put out a statement not directly criticizing it, but saying that you have to consider the source, saying that the author is a paid consultant who is routinely critical of mining. And a look at the webpage shows that a lot of their clients are Sierra Club, a lot of environmental groups. Does that mean that this report, you know, should be just kind of cast aside? Are there any? Do you not see any redeeming factors in it?
No, I think the initiative is, is needed within our industry, but there has been quite a few economic studies that have been produced.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing directly specific to industrial sand mining. They focus around non-metallic mining, which is very similar. We're essentially the same group as non-metallic mining. The same uses, we use the same machinery in the mines, whether it's an open pit mine or an underground mine, and we have very similar economic benefits to our local communities.
Well, let's talk about that. What kind of local economic benefits are there for a local community, and how do you define local?
Well, you know, when we talk about our local communities, we talk about the communities that we operate in, with township, village, also county. Is essentially our local community. When we hire people, from our local community. Typically, I heard you had mentioned 45 miles is a
rate. I got that from you.
That's very, very common within these operations. We don't need to bring in people from, you know, far away to work at these mines. It's the mines are pretty. There is a skill level that is required, but it's not uncommon to say heavy machinery operators. You know, a little bit of a technical standpoint when it comes to laboratory analysis and quality control of the product.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not anything that's not common to the skill set within the communities that are within Wisconsin, the communities that these mines are operating within currently.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, we are talking about the frac sand, economic impact of frac sand mining. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. Again, it's 1-800-228-5615. And when I was reading through the report that Tom Power put out, he was talking about how local communities, like the communities that have the sand mine in them, say a New Auburn or Arcadia or whatever, he's saying that they don't benefit directly from it as much as you'd think, because a lot of the workers are from out of the area, whether even if it is 45 miles. Also, he mentioned that you're not likely to find the specialized equipment that you need in these small towns. What about that?
Yeah, that's not true. I mean, that's one of the problems that the industry right now sees within this power study that was written. There's a lack of understanding of our industry that is pretty obvious to people within our industry that reads this. It's fairly difficult to correlate other types of mining with industrial sand mining, non-metallic mining, such as coal and metal mining. When you talk about non-metallic mining, there's a tremendous history within the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
There's currently over 2,500 active non-metallic mines. This is not new to the state of Wisconsin. When you talk about industrial sand mining, it's not new to Wisconsin either.
The scope has changed.
There's opportunity.
A little bit larger.
Market has grown, in particular for one particular market for the oil and gas industry.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other industries within the state, glass, foundry, that mines have been producing and shipping to for the last several decades. And in particular, there's a couple mines that have actually been in place for many decades, back in the early 1920s and late 1800s.
Badger
mining. Also, there's two underground mines just to the north of Stockholm, of Pepin County. So it's interesting to say hear these comments of, you know, it's cannot coexist with tourism. That's definitely not true. There's examples right now of tourism and other businesses, as well as industrial sand mining, coexisting and doing very well. Proven positive economic development.
But again, about the equipment, some of the, I don't know, conveyor equipment or whatever you need, can you get that at the local or in Eau Claire? Can you get that in the Menominee?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's local equipment. It's very similar to construction equipment that you see out on the highways through the construction season. It's, you know, front-end loaders, the conveyors themselves. Although they may not be directly manufactured locally, they are distributed locally through equipment dealers and distributors out of Eau Claire, La Crosse, Hudson, Green Bay, Milwaukee. There's a tremendous amount of equipment and services that we use from our local area.
And just before you came on the program, I'm sure you were listening, but we had Bill Mavity, who's proposed this ordinance in Pepin County, and basically looking to ban it in a fairly thin strip along the shoreline of Lake Pepin. Basically, they're saying, or he and his allies are saying, that this industry, this heavy truck traffic, will kill tourism. And you've kind of mentioned that may not be true. But won't it have some kind of change as far as aesthetics if you have, say, on the Great River Road, you know, hundreds of trucks per day going down it? I mean, isn't that... is that indisputable or no?
Well, the one thing that you see, the Great River Road is also a state highway, State Highway 35.
Yeah.
That state highway is in place and it's funded to promote commerce and trade within the state of Wisconsin. If you go out and look at studies from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation on the truck traffic existing currently on that road, you're going to see tens of thousands of truck trips back and forth, and it's not for specifically industrial sand. So when you start talking about a large volume of trucks, you have to put it in perspective with the existing truck traffic and what that road is designed to do in the first place, and it's to deliver goods and services. Now, tourism is also used by that road. There's a tremendous amount of tourism that is happening in that corridor, mm-hmm. specifically, And I could say, you know, with the existing mining operations, they are not harming tourism. Tourism is thriving in that corridor. Just to the north of Pepin, Stockholm area, just 15 miles, there's three industrial sand mining facilities located in that corridor. I'm not exactly sure if the study included those sites within the study as far as impacts, but everything is very positive within that corridor.
And I'm curious, you mentioned the study, that people inside the industry looking at this study, you know, obviously have a different opinion of it than someone that doesn't. Do you know, from your members or from other colleagues of yours, do you know if they were ever consulted in the making of this study?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Okay. And, you know, that's an interesting point because, you know, when even with the local ordinances that are being considered in counties, there are existing operations within these counties and neighboring counties. And these ordinances do not take into effect the actual positive impacts that are going on within the neighboring communities. You know, we see this as essentially a way to prohibit land use within a township or within a county is the avenue that they're taking. And it's a land use that's been going on for quite some time within Wisconsin. It's very strictly regulated by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, air, water, groundwater, surface water. And the Department of Transportation regulates truck traffic specifically to State Highway 35 when we talk about this Great River Road.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tremendous amount of regulation for the industry, for the industrial sand mining industry.
Let's go to the phones right now. We've got Rich Buttinger on the program. He is the president of the Wisconsin Industrial Sand Association and also is the general manager at Fairmont Minerals. Right now we go to Rhonda in Eau Claire. Rhonda, you're on the air. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I have a question for Rich. When he's speaking about the not having any impact at this point, but there's no way the truck flow is what it could become. It's nothing. I mean, having an underground mine is a whole different thing than having it above ground. And if you went up to Bloomer, New Auburn, Chippewa County, you would see somewhat of what the impact is on the trucking side of it. So it's just how many mines would be enough. You know, how many would end up being in that area? And, you know, you just put more trucks upon more trucks. And I can say for myself, even on our road, which is a state highway, I notice when there's more sand trucks going by, I do notice it. They go continuously. So it's a whole different effect.
All right. Rhonda, thanks so much for your call. Rich Buttinger, a response?
Yeah, you know, as far as truck traffic, I mean, it's very important to us. It's a very big part of our industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mines, it's fairly site-specific on the roads that these mines are using and how close they are to rail sidings. Are they on state highways, interstates,
mm-hmm.
county roads? So when it comes to the impacts, you know, the mines need to consider partnering up with their local communities and identifying the impacts and how to absolutely minimize the impact, the negative impact, and start bringing more of the positive impacts to the communities. So these are important challenges, not only to local communities, but also to our industry.
Rhonda touched on an interesting point that I'm interested in, too, is she mentioned how many sand mines will be enough. And I'm going to turn that question, it's basically the same, but when is supply going to meet up with demand? Because we've seen some bit of a slowdown in the sand that's used for natural gas drilling. It's still strong for oil and other but are we going to see the mines that need to travel disappear or consolidate with the mines and processing centers that are right on the rail, like High Crush in Augusta?
Well, there is a business model based on logistics for industrial sand, and the closer you are to rail, closer you are to your market. So there is a competitive advantage, but as far as supply and demand, as long as we're continuing to decrease our dependency on foreign oil and natural gas,
mm-hmm.
We will see and increase our domestic drilling and domestic use. We'll see an increase. We'll continue to see a sustained market and even more of an increase over the next few years.
Now, I've spoke with you before, and you've mentioned, and I've heard from other people in the industry that have said that there's a real disconnect between, you know, the myths and the actual truths about frac sand mining and a lot of misinformation. But does frac sand mining have an image problem in Wisconsin? Because WISA provides or promotes safe and responsible sand mining, but we've also heard of some examples, like in a containment pond bursting in Burnett County, leaking silt into wetlands in the St. Croix River, the sand slide in Tremplo County that forced an Amish family out of their home, and in Eau Claire, recently there was a sand mine that built a high-cap well without the DNR's approval. So how do you build a trust with the people? How does your industry build that trust if colleagues are letting these kind of things happen?
Well, you know, as far as the instances out there right now, you know, those are not common. Within our industry, you know, responsible mining practices, you know, make it very difficult to have issues of that nature. When we start talking about regulations, there's many regulations out there, strict regulations. It's more of an issue of companies following those regulations mm-hmm. and the compliance and also the enforcement of those regulations. So that's been a challenge for the industry. It's also been the challenge for the Department of Natural Resources to manage this. So we feel that, you know, the department is looking at hiring more staff recently,
mm-hmm.
Proposal to focus in on industrial sand. We think that's going to make a huge improvement within the state of Wisconsin, within our industry, on enforcing those regulations that are already out there.
All right. And unfortunately, that is the time for this discussion. We could go on for hours and hours. Rich Buttinger, thank you so much for coming to the joining us on the program. Rich Buttinger is a general manager at Fairmont Minerals. He's also the president of the Wisconsin Industrial Sand Association. Big thanks also to Bill Mavity, Pepin County Board Supervisor, and Tom Power of Power Consulting for helping us out with this program. Thanks for the callers as well. Next week, we're going to talk about the Confluence Project and give you some updates on that. The governor likes the project. Also, it looks like there's going to be an economic study coming out on that as well. So tune in next Thursday for that. Big thanks to Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, Tiffany Coggins, and Dean Collenbeck. We'll talk again next week.